So the online education platform Canvas went offline last week after a data breach, temporarily leaving students and faculty at thousands of U.S. colleges and even K-12 schools without access to course materials and communications, especially during a time like now, which is finals period. Here in Connecticut, we learned Yale uses Canvas, but there could be other local entities using it as well. But whenever anything goes haywire in the news, we always check in with our cybersecurity and AI expert on the show, Dr. Vahid Bezadon, who I emailed immediately once I learned that at least one Connecticut college was impacted by this. Vahid, welcome back to the show. And my first question, is this similar to when the PowerSchool hacking situation happened last year?
Somewhat similar, but at a very different scale. So for listeners who may not be familiar, and there are just going to be very few of them, Canvas is the digital classroom that most colleges, universities, and even many K-12 schools use every single day. It's where instructors and professors post lectures, where students submit assignments. This is where some of the exams take place. This is where grades live and where students and teachers communicate through private messages. So I tend to think of Canvas as the operating system of modern education. Now, here's what happened. Starting in late April, a criminal hacking group called Shiny Hunters, who've been around for 5 or 6 years, broke into Canvas, the company that develops and maintains Canvas, instructors' systems, and stole a massive amount of data. What they claim is they have 275 million user records, around 3 terabytes total, from nearly 9,000 schools worldwide, 8,000 of which are here in the United States. Names, email addresses, student ID numbers, and here's where it gets a little tricky, private messages between the students and teachers were claimed to have been compromised by this group. Now, Instructure discovered the breach on April 29th, already a little late, and said that they had contained it in early May. But then on May 7th, last Thursday, right in the middle of the finals week, Shiny Hunters came back and hijacked the Canvas login pages of hundreds of schools, replacing them with something that read like a ransom note, demanding further communications or negotiations, probably over payments, or else. They'd leak everything. Instructure had to take the whole platform offline, again, right in the middle of the finals. And now this is history now. It's now being called the largest educational data breach in history.
Wow. I mean, first of all, why? Why even have a data breach like this, other than, I guess, to find compromising messages between students and professors? Why would this even be, is it similar to when you see hospital systems? Although hospital systems, I feel like, is different. You could find out really important, vital, private information in a hospital system. But, I mean, why even target the school systems? Why even do that? I don't know if it's so much as to get information about people as it is to, get money? I don't understand, I guess.
Well, you know that similar to HIPAA, the federal act that protects the privacy of healthcare information, there's also a federal act that protects educational records called FERPA. And for very good reason. For instance, in this particular breach, messages between instructors and students were compromised. Now, that's where students disclose mental health crisis to their deans or instructors. That's where they request disability accommodations that they haven't told their parents about. That's where some Title IX complaints are communicated with campus advocates. This is deeply personal information that was probably shared in confidence, and it may now be in the hands of criminals. But going back to your question, this is what shiny hunters do. They compromise larger scale, very popular, very commonly used platforms, and then they take the personally identifiable information or sensitive information, they're hostage and ask for ransom. This happened in 2024, if you recall. We may have even talked about this on the show, the Ticketmaster's breach. That this is the same group. This is what they do. They go after very commonly used systems, and they take their data hostage, asking for money.
We have Vahid Bezadan here, who's our cybersecurity expert on the show. I meant to ask you this, actually, Vahid, because you're also an associate professor over at the University of New Haven. Does UNH use Canvas?
Yes, we do.
Oh, yes, we do. You could have totally been like, Melissa, stop bringing up Yale. What about me?
What about everybody else?
You're like, excuse me.
Million people were affected by this breach, and it couldn't have happened at the worst time. It happened right in the middle of the finals week.
Vahid, why would you bury the lead like that? Why would you let me talk to you for 6 minutes, and then you didn't even text me to be like, hey, Melissa, by the way, UNH was one of them, so stop bringing up other colleges. You could have totally done that. Like, tell me. Tell me I'm missing it. Tell me.
Next time.
Okay, next time. He's like, here's the thing. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not doing it. And that's what makes you a really good friend. That's very nice of you, Vahid. But yes, feel free to tell me that I'm missing a huge part of this. So then you tell me from your perspective. That is bonkers, especially because you understand cybersecurity. So this happened to you on Thursday. What were you thinking? Like, what was sort of going through your mind?
Here's the funny thing. Yeah. I was in the middle of a meeting with the CIOs of all colleges and universities.
Of course you were. You're like, here's the funny thing. I'm connecting with everyone and everything goes black. Like, what? Crazy.
Like, yeah, we were in the same room and we were talking about something completely different. I do a lot of, well, a little bit of AI policy, and I was talking about that, and I started seeing this dark shadow looming on everybody's faces when they check their messages. Canvas had gone down, and that was and still is a huge deal, because it's, again, in the middle of finals, students can't access lecture notes, they can't access lecture slides. Some exams were due to take place on Canvas in online, remote, or in-person format, and nobody knew what to do. This was a little bit of a wake-up call to a lot of people in that room, as well as many others. As you mentioned, this is a single point of failure for all academic operations across many, many, many schools and universities. Like, I remember, fortunately, my students were not affected, and that was just sheer luck. But my best.
No, because the hackers weren't going to mess with you, Vahid. They weren't going to do it. They're like, this guy is on to us. We're not going to bother him.
You said it. I wasn't going to say that out loud.
They're like, listen, we're not doing it. I know I'm making light of this, but I thought about this, and I mean, when you think about, I would imagine, so to your point, it's thousands of colleges, let alone K-12, but it seems like this is really something that is used for colleges. That's why I brought up PowerSchool, though, because let's not forget, it was actually, I know Milford was one of the PowerSchool schools impacted, or districts, because my kid is in Milford. So I remember talking to our tech team, if you will, for the school district. And again, that was something that is used for K-12 schools across the country. Very similar, but you're looking at, again, more elementary versus the information that could be used at a college level. So I do understand how it's different. But same kind of thing. I mean, my big question here, Vahid, is when you have thousands and thousands of different entities using that same platform. First of all, you're at a higher risk for a hacking situation to happen, a data breach, if you will. But do we do enough then? Do we have enough attention on blocking those types of efforts, or is that impossible to do?
Well, that's only part of what needs to be done. The bigger part of preparing for these eventualities, and I call them eventualities because it's inevitable for any system, any popular system like Canvas, to go down for any reason, either cyber compromise or just tech failures. Preparing for that, accounting for that as part of your risk management and risk preparation is very crucial. And it seems that many schools, many universities were not prepared for that. And just to be perfectly honest, I had not thought about this either. Kansas was like air. It was always there. I did not expect it to go down at such a critical time, and it did. Again, my students were fortunate, but a lot of my colleagues had to scramble last minute to first of all figure out what's going on, because the message on the Canvas login pages wasn't, hey, we were compromised. A lot of people were trying to figure out for the first couple of hours whether this was their school, whether it was their account, or whether it was something bigger. Once the clarity came, then came issues of scrambling and figuring out what to do now. And it shouldn't have happened then. The planning for this, for responding to this sort of incident, should happen way before it actually takes place. Unfortunately, many schools, many universities did not have that plan in place. And this is why I call it a wake-up call. When 41% of higher ed depends on this one system, they should all have an incident response plan for not just this happening, but worst case scenarios. What if grade books are compromised and can no longer be retrieved? How are you going to provide feedback and reporting to students right after or in the middle of finals?
So, like, what would be a good backup plan, Vahid? So it sounds silly. And again, I have no issue saying that I am not a tech savvy person. That's why I have people like you on my show pretty frequently. But if I were an instructor, especially during finals, if I were an instructor, what would be a backup plan? Because other than saying I printed out 20 copies for every single student to do their final in person using a pen and paper, what would be a good backup plan? I mean, when you essentially... are you talking about kind of manually having it? Are you talking about, like, what could you do?
Well, this is a really tough question to answer at this point. One answer is going back to pen and paper, but that's not immediately possible when everything is already online.
Right.
Another option is to have alternative platforms already available with training in place, so that they can be used when such events happen. At my school, at UNH, one of the very interesting and, in my opinion, applaudable things that happened was suggesting that we use Teams as an alternate platform.
Which is like a version of, we have Teams here, don't we, Eric?
Yeah.
Don't we? Yeah, we have Teams here at Connoisseur. Yeah. Yep. Yep. We have that.
I actually knew that. Yeah.
Of course you knew that. But he's like, here's the thing. I know everything. I know what's going on.
I know a little bit about.
You do. You know a little bit about everything. Sort of yeah. No, that's what I appreciate about your brain. But yes, Teams, that's probably very common for honestly a lot of different workplaces. But you could use it for higher ed. Sure. Why not?
And we do. We do use it for certain types of meetings, including classroom meetings and file sharing and such. So one of the things that could have happened is relying on file sharing on Teams for students to just be able to access lecture notes and slides when they are preparing for an old school, classical, not necessarily old school pen and paper exam. And also use it for communications with their instructor. But at the same time, coming up with alternative platforms for online exams would have been a huge plus. Unfortunately, many schools did not have that in place.
Well, maybe after this, they will. But it's certainly, like you said, I love the fact that it's not just hey, we need to put more protections in place to stop from a hacking. It's also important on, for example, the universities to have a backup plan if, God forbid, this happens. And I would imagine same kind of thing goes for really anybody who is relying on an online platform. So any line of business. I mean, obviously, we're talking about education. It could be healthcare. It could be, any of these, different businesses that if we don't focus on investing on cybersecurity, but also, like you said, backup plans and having kind of strategic plans if you get a data breach situation that happens, then we're kind of like we're sort of a target. You know, we'll just continue to be a vulnerable target, essentially.
Absolutely. Again, any popular online system is bound to be compromised. And that may be too strong a word. It's bound to fail at some point. Having a plan in place, what we in cybersecurity call an incident response plan in place before it happens, is going to save a lot of people from massive headaches later on. In this particular case, it seems that unfortunately, many were not prepared for this. Having that plan, or if they had that plan in place, perhaps final exams on Friday wouldn't need to be rescheduled for a later date.
Yeah,
is what happened. Which is what happened in a lot of universities across the country, or even globally.
Yeah. Well, Vahid, I want to thank you so much for breaking this down for us, but also I think giving some advice for how to move forward, because as you mentioned, it is very likely that you could be a target or compromised. So to have those backup plans, not just the protections in place, I think it's something to really think about. Thank you so much, and hopefully no more glitches before the end of this school year, at least. We appreciate it.